Molly Tharp had killed Doty. Somebody else said no, Ollie Tharp was dead too, with a broken neck in his dressing room. And my hand hurt. When I raised my hand to look at it, right across the thick of my palm were teeth marks. Deep, bloody teeth marks where Doty had bit me when I strangled him. So you see, that's why I say never take any of those old books too seriously. Remember I said I wished I was a monster? Remember what the book said? The monster only possessed his murderous power for 1 hour. The last hour of the year. New Year's Eve again. And it's raining. You got anybody you want murdered?
Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper. The man who spoke to you was Ernest Chappell.
And Muriel Kirkland was Mary Lou. Pat O'Malley was Doty. Music for Quiet, Please is composed and played by Albert Berman. Now, for a word about next week's Quiet, Please, here is our writer-director, my good friend, Willis Cooper.
I have a story for you next week about a man who was haunted. It's called The Little Visitor.
And so, until next week at this time, I am quietly yours, Ernest Chappell.
Quiet, Please comes to you from New York. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer. Happy New Year, Casey. Happy New Year, Ethelbert.
Same to you, Marvin.
Say, you know, this 1948 is going to be a great year.
Why so?
Well, don't you know? It's leap year.
And just what can leap year mean to you?
Why, I'm surprised at you, Ethelbert. Don't you know that that means an extra Thursday?
So what?
So what? That extra Thursday gives me an extra chance to say that Anchor Hawking is the most famous name in glass. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey, crime photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of the great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, Hot New Year's Party. Half past nine on the morning of New Year's Day. And to some people, that hour on that day can be very bleak and dismal. Ethelbert, the head bartender of the Blue Note Cafe, is obviously not one of those unfortunates, for we find him in the morning.
Oh, what a beautiful thing. Hi, Walter.
Yeah, that's a
buddy. Bring up two more bottles of aspirin. They're going to be our best sellers today.
Okay.
Oh, what a beautiful... Well, look who's here. Happy New Year, Casey. And same to you, Miss Williams. What's the matter with you two?
Ask Walter to bring us a couple of cups of coffee, pal.
Strong and black.
Uh-oh.
And slip me an aspirin tablet.
Make that a double order.
Uh-oh. Hey, Walter, draw two.
Time of that. What's Hammond Chittison doing here? Practicing at this hour in the morning?
He couldn't get home on account of the snow. He slept here all night.
Oh, dear.
Here's some special headache medicine for you to stay out all night.
We haven't been stay out all night.
I know. Like good, sensible folks, you left the party early, just before daylight. And then you got all of An hour's sleep before you had to come to work on an 8 a.m. shift.
He's a wise guy, Annie.
Yeah.
You should have been like me. I wasn't on duty last night, but did I spend my leisure time in idle revelry? I did not. At 12 o'clock, my sister Edna and me wished one another a happy new year over a glass of good, healthful milk. Then I retired and enjoyed a fine, refreshing sleep. So, on this beautiful morning, you find me full of vim, vigor, and vitamins. Have another aspirin on the house.
Shall I kill this guy quickly, Annie? Listen, vim, vigor, and vitamins. The reason Miss Williams and I feel beat up is that ever since a few minutes after we reported for work this morning, we've been inhaling smoke.
Smoke?
There was another warehouse fire this morning near Chatham Circle.
That's the only New Year's party we've attended, and it was a red-hot one, too.
Bad fire, huh?
Yeah, plenty bad.
Oh, here's Walter with our coffee.
Oh, thanks, Walter. Happy New Year. Boys are welcome, too.
Thanks, Walter.
Okay.
Your papers kind of hinted that them warehouse fires lately have been arson jobs, Miss Williams.
Oh, we're morally certain of it, Ethelbert. And that Jake Schultz is the man behind them.
He and his mob make a deal with the owners of them places to split the fire insurance, huh?
That's right. That's the racket.
Skinny Jake Schultz is a pretty smart cookie, I hear. Neither the cops or the fire inspectors has ever got anything on him.
Yeah, well, if he's behind the torch job we just covered, he isn't so smart. And this one let somebody in for a hot seat rep.
What do you mean?
Well, the fire was set at night, and there was a human being in the building, an old watchman. That means arson in the first degree. The watchman got out all right, but a fireman was killed by falling timbers. And when death is caused through commission of first-degree arson, it becomes first-degree murder.
And a reliable witness says that he saw three men run out of the warehouse a few minutes before the fire was discovered. He's given the police a first-class description of them.
Was one of them Schultz?
No, of course not. Jake doesn't do any firebug stuff himself. And one of those three guys is caught and sings. It's just going to be too bad for his boss, man. Annie, how about some more coffee?
No, we don't have time, Casey.
We've
got to get out to Barstow College.
Well, there's no hurry about that.
Yes, there is. City Desk wants the dope on Professor Wendell right away.
Well, who's Professor Wendell and what's he doing?
Oh, he's a teacher at Barstow College. He went for a walk last night and he hasn't come back.
Now, the professor who shares an apartment with Wendell's just reported his disappearance to the Missing Persons Bureau.
Well, he thinks the guy has met with foul play?
That's right. Well, if we must, Annie. Come on, let's get started at Professor Gerber's place.
But this Professor Gerber's the one who reported the mysterious vanishing of this Professor Wendell,
That's
huh?
right. After we waste our time with him, Wendell will undoubtedly show up with a perfectly good reason for staying out all night.
Well, I'm perfectly willing to waste time on such cases today. I'd like to start the new year safely and sanely.
Me too, Annie, me too. To establish a precedent for 1948, no jams and no trouble, nothing but peace, sweetness, and light.
Instead of just a hope, why don't you two make that a New Year's resolution?
Well, that's a good idea, pal.
Oh, excellent. We here highly resolve
that for the coming year,
and starting now,
no jams,
no trouble,
nothing but peace, sweetness, and light.
Professor Wendell and I have shared this apartment for over 5 years, Miss Williams, ever since he lost his wife. I know him, and I'm certain he wouldn't stay out all night without notifying me if he was able to do so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when did you see him last, Professor Gerber?
He attended a New Year's party at the Teacher's Club, a most decorous affair, I assure you. Shortly after toasting the arrival of the New Year with a glass of sherry, he left saying he was going to take a bus to Chatham Circle.
Chatham Circle?
He liked to wander around there.
That's a tough neighborhood.
I know it, Mr. Casey, and I have repeatedly warned Professor Wendell to keep out of such neighborhoods, especially after dark. But to him, they were most interesting because of the criminal element he found there.
He was interested in the criminal element?
Very much so. Frankly, instead of the brilliant authority on ancient civilizations which Professor Wendell has been for many years, I am certain that he would rather have been a private detective.
An amateur Sherlock Holmes.
He more particularly admired a fictional character called Dr. Thorndyke.
Casey, if he was snooping around Chatham Circle early this morning, he may have seen something he wasn't supposed to see.
Yeah, that warehouse fire was started early this morning, Annie.
A warehouse fire?
Look, will you give us a description of your friend, Professor Gerber?
Clarence Wendell is a small man, about 5'3", I should say, and he weighed not more than 130 pounds. He had light blue eyes, thin gray hair, and wears gold-rimmed spectacles. Last night, he wore a dark blue overcoat, black velvet...
Casey!
Professor,
Did you give that description to the cops when you reported him missing?
Oh, of course. I gave them a photograph of Clarence.
And it didn't mean anything to them?
Mean anything?
Well, it exactly fits a witness description of one of three men who ran out of the Chatham Circle warehouse early this morning, of just before it caught on fire.
I don't understand.
Well, the Missing Persons Bureau men who talked to Professor Gerber wouldn't necessarily know about that arson business, Annie.
Oh, no, that's right. It's being handled by the homicide squad.
Will you please explain?
Well, there's more important things to do first, Professor, if you don't mind. Where's your phone? I want to call Captain Logan of Homicide and get him to check with missing persons right away.
That's all you're going to do, Casey. Just phone. Remember our New Year's resolution.
Casey, I got hold of that warehouse witness right after you phoned me. When he looked at the photograph missing persons had of Professor Wendell, he identified it immediately.
Wendell was the little guy you saw coming out of the warehouse looking, right?
Yeah, between the two other men.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't been able to identify the others from pictures in our criminal file.
And if the witness saw Wendell between the other guys?
Yeah. Now he recalls they both had a grip on the little man's arms.
Well, when Professor Wendell was playing detective last night, he accidentally stumbled onto the arsonist while they were setting the fire. And they kidnapped him to keep him quiet.
That's the way it looks, Miss Williams. Which doesn't help us find Wendell or the firebugs.
Well, like the fire inspectors, you think that Jake Schultz mob is behind
it? Sure, but suspicion and proof are very different things. We haven't a single lead to work on.
Professor Wendell's a definitely...
He's a definite complication.
Huh?
If two of Schultz's torches put the snatch on him this morning because he caught him setting a fire, they probably bumped him off by now.
Logan, I don't think Professor Wendell has been bumped off.
Why?
Casey, the gang won't dare let him live if he saw what we think he did.
Oh, they'll give him the works eventually, Annie. But Jake Schultz is going to do a whole lot of thinking before he okays a murder that would hit the front pages and stay there. Logan, Jake's in the fire business, but he does his best to avoid strong heat.
Yeah. I'll have Skinny Jake and his mob brought in. We'll force information out of him.
Nah, you won't force anything out of Jake or his mob. That's been tried before.
Well, do you know of anything else we can try?
I can try something.
You?
Yeah. What? I think I'll have to keep to myself. There can't be any cops in the picture, Logan.
Meaning you know some crook who might be persuaded to spill?
Meaning you ask no questions and I answer none, now or later.
Okay. Help me find Professor Wendell alive and you can write your own ticket.
Attaboy, Logan. Thank you. I'll get started right away. Now stick around your office here and I'll phone you after I make my contact.
I'll be near the phone.
So long.
Oh, I'm going with you. See you later, Captain.
Okay, Miss Williams. And carry your luckiest horseshoe, Casey.
Yeah, I guess I'll need it, pal.
Oh, what are you going to do, Casey?
Annie, I'm going to leave you as soon as we've reached the street door.
Not unless you tell me what this is all about.
Look, kid, I can't tell anybody.
Well, then I'll trail you.
But if you do, you may wreck the one chance of finding Professor Wendell alive.
Okay. Well, just tell me one thing, off the record. Where are you going?
Completely off the record, Annie. To Nick Morrow's tavern.
Well, the Schultz mob hangs out at Nick Morrow's. Jake Schultz owns the place.
Yeah?
Casey, you'll be sticking your neck out down there. Quite a few of the mob know you. Schultz knows you.
I'll be okay, Annie.
Well, maybe. Resolutions are so easily broken, Casey. We should only have hoped for a safe and sane 1948.
You probably met jadeite dinnerware for the first time because jadeite is the perfect solution to the problem raised by an unusually large number of guests. Jadeite cups and saucers, jadeite dessert plates and salad plates, jadeite dinner plates, soup plates, vegetable bowls and platters are as lovely as Chinese porcelain. They're as heat-proof as the Fire King oven glass you use for baking, yet they're so inexpensive that you can buy all the extra pieces you need for entertaining without making a dent in your budget. For example, jadeite cups and saucers cost only 15 cents for the two pieces, and you can buy a complete 35-piece dinner service for six for less than $5. Now, you'll find jadeite dinnerware at chain stores, hardware stores, department stores, and all other stores selling chinaware and glass. Ask for jadeite by name. Now, it's spelled J-A-D-E-I-T-E. Jadeite, newest triumph of Anchor Hocking. The most famous name in glass.
Well, Red Monahan ain't in the back room, Casey. He ain't been in a joint at all today.
Well, I'll stick around, Nick. You'll probably be in later. Give me a beer, will you?
Okay.
Your bar do a big New Year's business last night, Nick?
I can't complain. You still running with the cops, Casey?
Why, Nick, I don't know what you mean. I'm a newspaper guy.
Sure, I know. Here's your beer.
Thanks, Nick.
What do you want to see Red Monahan about?
If it's any of your business, Nick, I want to thank him for the Christmas card he sent me.
You've been waiting here over an hour for me, Casey?
That's okay, Red. It's okay.
Oh, it ain't okay. You're one guy I wouldn't keep waiting for no reason.
Well, look, let's sit down here. Yeah? Over the corner table there, we can talk privately.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Nick, we're going to sit down. Bring me and my pal Casey a drink.
Okay, Red.
Come on, Casey. Hey, it's good to see you. Here, take a load off your feet.
Thanks.
Now, what's on your mind?
I'm going to ask a favor of you, Red.
A favor?
Yeah.
I owe you a debt, fella. One I can't ever pay. My only kid would be dead if it wasn't for you. See, I'll never forget how you pulled her out of the river when she was drowning.
Here's your drinks.
Oh, thanks, Nick.
That's all, Nick. Thanks.
Well, tell me, what can I do for you, Casey?
All right, I'll give it to you quick and straight, Red. I want Professor Weldon.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think you do. I know how close you are to Schultz. Nick, I give him a word that the cops don't know and won't know that I'm talking to you. All I want is that little professor, and I want him alive.
I ain't got the slightest idea what you're driving at, pal. I swear I ain't.
You say you owe me a debt, Red. Under ordinary circumstances, that's a debt that only a heel would try to collect. But under these circumstances, I ask Wendell's life in exchange for your kids.
I can't give it to you.
Because he's been killed?
No, he ain't been killed. I tell you, I don't know anything about him.
You can't lie to me, Red. Look, you're a crook, but you're not a murderer. If you don't tell me where to find Professor Wendell, you'll be committing murder right now, just as surely as though you held a gun to the guy's head.
I ain't even seen the guy, Casey. I won't see him.
You know what I mean. Keep your nose clean, fella.
I ain't no squeal. I don't rat.
You're ratting on a debt. You owe me a life.
Okay, Casey, you win. I'm coming clean with you. But I had no part in anything that happened this morning.
Where is the professor?
He's being kept in an old house out in Bristol Road. While Schultz makes up his mind when and how to bump him over.
Where on Bristol Road?
East of Old Turnpike. Third farmhouse on the right-hand side.
Third farmhouse on the right, yes.
Yeah, now get out of here, Casey. It's curtains for me if the mob finds out that I...
Nobody will ever find it out from me, Red. Thanks a million and so on.
So,
what's the matter?
Schultz. Skinny Jake. Just came out of the back room with two guys at a mob.
Yeah. Hello, Red.
Hi, Jake. Hi, Murray. That's Trick, Sam.
Yeah.
Hi.
Casey. I haven't seen you for a long time.
Well, I haven't been around your way, Schultz.
Nick phoned me a while ago that you were waiting here for our pal Red. Knowing how he feels about you on account of his kid, I decided to come over.
You, come in the back way?
Uh-huh. I've been sitting in the back room, listening through the wall.
Listening? You heard?
Yeah, plenty. Walk into that back room, both of you. Keep your hands in sight. Get going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you've got a car in the alley and you two dopes are getting into it.
What are you going to do to us, Jake?
You can guess, can't you, Red?
Yeah. And I ain't going to take it.
That goes for me too, Red.
Don't shoot, guys. It might bring the cops.
Hey, this Casey is getting my gas,
boy. No, he isn't.
You got him with your blackjack.
Yeah, Casey's out of the picture now, Red.
You know, I got right on the control seat. Let's tap him anyway.
I'm doing just that.
Now, they're both out cold.
Yeah, but not cold enough. You and Murray put him in the car, Sam, and we'll all go for a ride. There's a good spot, Sam. Stop the car.
Okay, boss.
Now, Red, this is the end of the ride for you and Casey.
Hey, they can't hear you, Jake.
Huh?
When you socked them back in Nick's joint, you done an A1 job.
They're still out, eh?
And how?
All right, pull them out of the car and roll them into the ditch here.
Yeah. Give me a hand, Sam.
Okay, Maury. Come on.
Got it. Yeah, got it. Pull back. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right, now get back in the driver's seat, Sam. You, Maury, Give me your slug through the head.
Me?
Yes, you heard me.
Hey, you're afraid of killing, ain't you, Jake?
Oh, I'm not afraid of it. I've just been smart enough to keep myself and you guys clear of it. Now we've got no choice.
But you want someone else to do it.
Well, do it if you haven't got the guts. Get back in the car.
Yeah, that suits me fine. Hey, where are you getting into?
I'll shoot from here. Sam, be ready to step on the gas when I do. This isn't a private road.
I'll be ready. I got the bus in gear and my foot on the clutch.
Let them guys in the ditch have it, Jake.
All right, I'm letting them have it.
Hey, a car's coming, boss. Huh? From behind us.
Yeah, I see it. Get away, Sam.
I can't see you. We've got one guy, Jake.
I can't do any more shooting now. Get away from that car behind us, Sam. Get away.
Well, you certainly had that lucky horseshoe with you, Casey. He found Red Monahan lying beside you in the ditch with a bullet through his chest. And you, you only had an egg-sized lump on the back of your head.
Oh, Casey didn't get off so easy, Captain Logan. He was unconscious for almost 2 hours after he was brought to this hospital.
Well, the doc says he's all right now, Miss Williams.
Yeah, it's all right, honey. I'm okay. Don't worry.
Oh, Casey, I've been so worried.
Oh, forget it, kid. Hey, they killed poor Red.
No. Oh, he's going to pull through. Slug didn't get him in a vital spot.
Oh, I'm glad of that. I'm glad. Now, Red's more than a half-right guy, much more. Of course, you want to know what happened.
Oh, take it easy, pal. You were delirious for a while after they brought you here, and you did a lot of talking.
You kept saying that Red Monahan had told you that Professor Wendell was being held prisoner in a house on Bristol Road.
East of Old Turnpike, third farmhouse on the right.
Wait a minute, I said all that when I was out?
Mm-hmm. Over and over.
Well, then you went to Bristol Road and found the professor.
Yeah, my guys went there, pal, but too late.
Schultz and the men with him evidently knew they hadn't killed you, Casey.
They lost no time in taking Professor Wendell away. We found the house empty. Haven't any idea where they've taken him.
Well, you found a possible lead in that Bristol Road farmhouse, Captain. Go ahead and show Casey.
Lead? What?
That thing's no lead, Miss Williams. It merely proves that Professor Wendell was in the house.
What'd you find, Logan?
He found a belt.
A belt?
Mm-hmm. With Professor Wendell's initials on the buckle.
Now, take a look, pal. Miss Williams insists that these cuts in the edges of the belt mean something.
Well, they're fresh cuts, Casey. See?
Yeah.
When we found the belt in a room where Wendell was probably held prisoner, we figured that those cuts might be some sort of a tip-off about where he'd been taken from there. And it hasn't worked out that way.
They're funny cuts, aren't they? Some straight, some slanting, and irregularly spaced.
Yeah. Wendell knew that an ordinary written message wouldn't help him. The men guarding him would have found it and destroyed it. Well, I'm sure these cuts are a message in code.
Our cipher expert at headquarters didn't recognize it as any code.
Well, your chief cipher experts were taking New Year's Day off, Captain. The men on duty are apprentices.
Yeah.
Do the cuts mean anything to you, Casey?
No, not a thing.
I think it's unanimous. They're Greek as far as all of us are concerned.
Greek?
Hmm?
Greek. Hey, Annie.
Hmm?
Wait a minute. Professor Gerbel told us that Wendell was an authority on ancient civilizations. Have you shown this belt to Gerber or whatever his name is, Logan?
No, but I phoned him.
All right, we're going to show it to him right now.
Casey! Yeah. Casey, you can't get out of bed.
I'm out. Beat it, Annie. Come on, let me get dressed. I want to hear what Professor Gerber says when he sees this cut-up belt.
All right, I'm going.
You're right, Mr. Casey. The belt conveys a message.
It does, Professor Gerber?
Yes. In the oldest secret code that history records, the ancient Spartans used it to convey secret military information. It is called Sitili. Professor Wendell hoped you'd bring this to me, Captain Logan.
He did, eh?
He must have. He knew I'd be able to read a Sicily message.
Oh, why are you wrapping that belt around your arm?
So that I may be able to decipher its markings, Miss Williams. You see, to write a Sicily message, the ancients wrapped a strip of papyrus, long and narrow, like this belt, around a staff of predetermined circumference. Spirally, with the edge of each spiral joining that of another. Then on the joining edges, they wrote the secret information they wished to impart. When the strip was unwound from the staff, nothing but apparently idle markings were visible on its edges. Now, the belt is completely wound about my arm. See? Its message is plain.
Well, not to me. All I see is that the edges of the cuts meet.
But the cuts form letters, Captain.
Greek letters.
Yeah, Greek, Logan. Anne knows she's been to college.
Well, what do they say?
In rough translation, they are taking me to Diana's house.
Diana's house?
Diana was the Roman name for the Greek goddess Artemis.
Say, I'm not a shark on the classics, but I get it.
So do I, Logan.
Well, I don't.
Neither do I.
Professor Gerber, Annie, the name of Skinny Jake Schultz's best gal friend is Diana. And to get away from the classics entirely, it's Diana McGillicuddy.
I never thought Schultz would take Wendell to such an obvious hideout, Casey.
Neither did I, Logan, which means Schultz has been smarter than we are. Well, all right, let's go. All set, Captain Logan. We have the joint surrounded.
The men are ready to break in from all sides, Sergeant?
As soon as they hear your whistle, sir.
They'll hear that as soon as I get to the front door. Now, you stay there, Casey.
Oh, no. I got a little personal matter to settle with Skinny Jake Schultz. I got a hunch he's in Diana's house.
You should still be in the hospital, you Sam.
All right, but I'm not. Okay, blow your whistle, pal.
I haven't got time to argue with you.
It's the guys!
Hey,
they're
coming in from all sides.
Pick up! That means you, Schultz.
Oh, no, you're not going to take me.
You're wrong, Jake. Casey!
I owed him that KO, Logan. And I owe these other two mugs something, too.
No.
We've given up.
Lay off, Casey.
Let me go, Logan. Let me go.
Cut it. This is a police job. You can take the pictures, but you can't make them.
Well, all right, Logan. But I want good shots. With Professor Wendell in them.
Where is Wendell, you mugs?
He ain't been hurt.
He's down in the cellar.
Yeah. Sergeant, bring him up.
I'll get my camera set.
You can't take pictures of the professor for the newspaper.
Hey, not for decent newspapers.
Why not, you mugs?
Oh, on account of...
Because, some way, the professor lost the belt that kept his pants up.
Yeah, and then some way, he lost his pants.
We'll join the crowd of the Blue Note in just a moment. You know, tonight, we're nearing the end of the holiday season, and to those of you who are exhausted, here's a suggestion. A good hot cup of coffee, which you can prepare in an instant, without fuss, without work, and without waiting even a minute. Now, I'm talking about soluble coffee, the amazing scientific discovery which makes really delicious coffee available at a moment's notice. Now, all you need is a cup, a spoon, and a glass jar. The sanitary, convenient anchor glass jar in which most of the better packers of soluble coffee bring you their products. The anchor glass jar opens quickly and simply. There's no trouble in measuring, no waste from spilling. And even more important, glass jars protect the flavor and freshness of soluble coffee against moisture long after they're open. You'll be delighted by the delicious soluble coffees now on the market, particularly those that come to you in convenient anchor glass containers sealed with anchor caps. Both products of Anchor Hocking. The most famous name in glass.
Pictures you took of Professor Wendell after he was rescued was very different, Casey. The first time I ever saw pictures of a college professor wrapped in a blanket. He looked just like an Indian.
Professor Wendell didn't like to have him taken that way, Ethelbert, even though Casey was responsible for his rescue. He was kind of burned up.
Yeah, he wasn't as burned up as Jake Schultz and his hired firebugs are going to be.
No, they're facing murder and kidnapping charges. And with plenty of evidence to back them up.
As the result of Casey busting some nice New Year's resolutions, Miss Williams.
The safe and sane 1948.
You started this well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Let's enlarge the idea. And no kidding.
You got something there, Ethelbert. All right, all together.
Happy New Year to everyone. Excuse me.
Bright Photographer, starring Stott Scottsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hocking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass, Anchor Glass Container, Anchor Caps and Closures, all products of Anchor Hocking, the most famous name in glass.
Harold Perry Show. And now, Harold Perry as Honest Harold the Homemaker. Well, let's look in on the little town of Melrose Springs this crisp December evening. Honest Harold, like the rest of us, is in that pleasantly dazed holiday condition. He is just recovering from Christmas in time to build up his strength for New Year's. Right now, he's bidding goodnight to his new romance, the lovely Theodora.
Oh, this has been a wonderful week, Haroldy-Waroldy.
Sure has, Theodora. I've seen you every night.
I just love the holiday season, don't you?
Yeah. I'll never forget Christmas Eve when I gave you that wristwatch. You threw yourself in my arms and kissed me. Remember?
Do I?
Let's try that again, shall we?
But, Harold, how could we ever recapture that special moment? Christmas, the wristwatch.
Well, you sing Jingle Bells and I'll start ticking. Yeah.
Oh, Harold.
Oh, well, I guess I can wait. Tomorrow night's New Year's Eve, and you know what happens at 12 o'clock. Auld Lang Syne is kissing time.
Harold.
Yeah?
You haven't told me where we're going New Year's Eve.
I want to wait and surprise you. I won't tell you till tomorrow.
All right, teddy bear.
Theodora.
Yes?
How about a little kiss?
Now, Harold, you'll have to wait till New Year's Eve.
Uh-huh. Isn't it strange, Theodora? New Year's Eve comes at different times all over the world. Why, right now, probably, it's New Year's Eve in Honolulu.
It is?
Yeah. Pucker up, Theodora.
Harold.
Yakahula hiki doola. Doola.
You're not eating your breakfast.
Huh? Well, Mother, I was just thinking about New Year's Eve party tonight and what a good time Theodora and I are going to have.
Oh, I think it's nice the way you and your old friends get together and have a party every New Year's Eve.
Yeah, they can have their big city swanky affairs. I bet we have a lot more fun right here in Melrose Springs at our New Year's barn dance.
Yes, we love the dear hearts and gentle people that live in our hometown.
That's right, Mother. We may have cider instead of champagne and play corny games like pin the tail on the donkey, but it's fun.
Oh, yes. Remember last year's party when Dr. Yancey was trying to pin the tail on the donkey and he jabbed the pin in one of the guests?
Yeah, that was me. That's when I was bobbing for apples, Mother.
I suppose Theodora thinks a barn dance is quite a novelty.
Well, I haven't told her yet. I thought I'd surprise her.
Harold, don't you think you should tell her? She might expect something fancier. You know, she's from Kansas City.
No, she'll love it, Mother.
Well, I think
I told Doc and Pete I'd help them decorate the barn this morning. I better get over there.
But you ought to drop by Theodora's and let her know what she's supposed to wear tonight.
Wear? Oh, I'll see you later, Mother. I'll tell her to wear a gingham dress. She'll look like Daisy May. And I'll be your little Abner.
Shall I pass the Kickapoo Joy Juice, son?
What? Mother! Oh, brother, see you later. Well, Doc and Pete should be out here in the barn. Hello, Doc, old friend.
Oh, hello, Harold.
Where's Pete?
Oh, he's downtown getting the bunting.
The bunting? Oh, yeah. Say, the barn's starting to look fine, Doc. You must have done a lot of work this morning.
Oh, not so much. All I did was tack up the streamers, make the sign.
Okay, Doc.
Mix the potato salad by the cider.
Yeah, that's great.
Slice the hot dog rolls. Tune the musical chairs.
Yes. Well, I bet we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. And Theodora's just going to love it. apple bobbing, square dancing, sack racing. Mm-hmm. Just think, maybe the two of us will be in the same sack.
I didn't know you cared, Harold.
Not you, Doc, Theodora.
Oh!
Well, happy 1951, boy.
Well, hello, Pete, old pal. Did you bring the bunting?
Bunting? Oh, Shaw, I knew I forgot something.
Oh, Pete!
Well, I've been busy, boy. Don't forget, I'm chairman of the door prize committee.
Did you get some good prizes, Pete?
I sure did. I got the Elks to donate the grand prize.
Oh?
A free, all-expense-paid 90-day vacation to Charleville.
Yeah. A 90-day vacation? Won't that cost them a lot of money?
No, it's just a round-trip bus ticket. You can return any time within 90 days.
Very funny, Pete. We've got to get this barn decorated. Why don't you run down now and get that bunting? Huh?
All right. Oh, Harold, before I go, maybe you'd like to hear Doc and me rehearse.
Rehearse?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Harold. Pete and I are going to perform a little New Year's pageant at the party tonight.
A pageant?
Yes. I'm going to be Father Time, and Pete'll be the Baby New Year.
Oh, my goodness, Baby New Year.
Yeah. I come out dressed in a ribbon.
Look, fellas, how about decorating the barn?
At the stroke of midnight, I come out as Father Time. It's a real character part.
Uh-huh.
And I say, well, another 365 days have gone by. That makes another year.
No kidding.
So ring out the old and ring in the new. Ring in the new. Okay, Pete.
Oh.
Oh, what was that? Aha! Tis Baby New Year.
Sounds like the noon whistle at the mattress factory. Fellas, how about...
Greetings, everyone. I am Baby New Year.
Ooh.
I was just born. Goo, goo, goo.
Goodbye. I'll see you fellas later. Pete.
Hi, and Baby New Year.
Horrible actors, but nice fellas, though. Yeah, we're going to have a swell time tonight.
Station Clerk JP. Just a moment, I'll connect you.
Oh, good morning, Glory.
Oh, good morning, Harold.
Is our dear boss Stanley Peabody in?
Yes, he is.
Thought maybe I'd ask him to our barn dance tonight. He's an old prissy pants, but what the heck. It's New Year's.
Because Raymond and I are going to a party tonight at my girlfriend's.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, she goes with a fellow in the Navy. He's the chief petting officer.
Yeah. Glory, you got that wrong. He's not a petting officer.
Well, according to my girlfriend, he is.
Oh, good.
And Harold, if you want to, you can use that joke on your radio program. There's no charge.
There's no joke either. See you later, Gloria. Everybody's a comic around here. See if Stanley wants to go to the party.
Come in. Oh, hello, Hemp.
Well, Happy New Year, Stanley, old friend.
Thank you. Hempy New Year to you.
Yeah.
Get it? Hey, why don't we have a drink to that?
A drink? Well,
yes, let me pour you a glass of yogurt.
Yeah. No, thanks, Stanley. I'll skip this round. Stanley, we're having our big New Year's party in Doc Yancey's barn tonight. Thought you might like to join us.
In Doc Yancey's barn?
Yeah.
Thank you, Hemp. But I've already made my plans for tonight.
Oh?
I'm going to the formal dance at the Antler Hotel in the Moose Room.
Yeah.
Everyone will be wearing tails.
In the Moose Room, I guess I...
Yes, it'll be quite swanky.
Yeah?
I'm taking Miss Abigail Turner. She's one of the Turners, you know.
Mm.
Her family came here over 100 years ago.
Yeah, she looks it. Well, sorry you can't make it, Stanley. I know Theodora and I'll have a wonderful time.
You mean Theodora consented to go to this barn dance?
Well, I haven't told her yet, but I know she'll love it.
Oh, Hemp, you fool, you.
Huh?
Theodora's a sophisticated girl. To her, New Year's Eve means formal dress, dinner, imported champagne.
Well, our cider's imported from Charleville.
Taking Theodora to that hayseed affair.
What?
How can you be such a hick?
I hate him.
Cider imported from Charleville. You kill me.
I better get out of here before I take him up on that. Peabody can't scare me. I'll bet Theodore will love that barn dance. What if it is corny? I'm a little corny myself. That's the kind of a girl I want. One I can settle down with and raise little corn muffins. She's from a big town, though. Kansas City. They have storm drains there. Well, I'll kind of fish around and find out. Hope she's in.
Who is it?
It's Harold.
Have a chair. I'll be right there.
What am I worried about? She's corny, all right.
Hello, Curly Lashes.
Curly Lashes. Hello, Theo.
Oh, I bet you came over to tell me where you're taking me tonight.
Well, you see...
Come on out. Tell Theodora.
Theodora, how about playing a little game first?
We played Spin the Bottle the last time you were here.
That's when I brought the loaded bottle. So this is a word game and called Association, Theodora. You find out what the other person is thinking.
Oh.
I mention a word to you and you say whatever it makes you think of. Are you ready?
Well, all righty.
Good. New Year's Eve.
Pheasant under glass.
Oop. You're having hot dogs under relish. Let's try it again, huh? New Year's Eve.
Champagne in a bucket.
We're having 7-Up in a tub. Try it once more. New Year's Eve.
Swanky supper club.
Oop.
White tie and tails.
Zeef. Maybe I can trap her. Barn dance.
Tennessee Ernie.
Zoink.
Now, Harold, tell me, where are you taking me tonight?
Antler room. I mean, Antler Hotel. Moose room. I'll be the third moose from the right.
We'll return to the second act of our story, Honest Harold, in just a moment. Have you seen who's joining Bing Crosby on a show tonight? It's Dinah Shore, Louis Armstrong, and Jack Teagarden. That's just a little later this evening over most of these same CBS stations, the Bing Crosby Show. And now, back to Honest Harold, the Homemaker. Well, it looks as though Honest Harold's Happy New Year isn't going to be so happy. For the first time, he isn't going to see the new year in with his old friends. Instead, he has talked himself into stepping out at the Antler Hotel to make an impression on the lovely Theodora. It's afternoon now, and we find Harold dejectedly returning home.
How am I going to tell Doc and Pete I'm not coming to the barn dance tonight? Fine friend I turned out to be. I'm a cad. Deserting him on New Year's Eve, running around in moose tails.
Is that you, Harold?
I don't know, Mother.
Well, did you see Theodora?
Yeah, I did.
Is she happy about where you're taking her tonight?
Oh, yeah, she's very happy.
Oh, you two will have a wonderful time. And maybe Theodora will pin the tail on the donkey.
She did.
Oh, Harold, you just got a phone call from Dr. Yancey.
From Doc?
Yes, he thought your feelings might be hurt because you're not in the pageant tonight. Wasn't that sweet of him? I can just see the three of you at your New Year's party tonight, your arms around each other singing, Should old acquaintance be forgotten?
Mother!
And never brought to mind!
Mother, please, you're flat.
Should old
Guess I better drop in and tell Pete I can't come tonight. Might as well get it over with. He'll understand, I think. Hello, Pete.
Howdy, boy.
Pete.
Harold, if you want to take my part in the pageant tonight, it's okie dokie with me, old friend. Here's my ribbon.
Oop. Well, thanks, Pete. But...
You'd make an awful cute baby New Year. It's an easy part to learn, boy. Four lines and three goos.
Well, that's nice of you, Goo, Pete. But you see, I can't come tonight. I'm going to the formal dance at the Antler Hotel.
What? Oh, sure. You're going to the Antler Hotel, and I'm Margaret Truman.
Margaret, Pete, I...
Like to hear me sing a cadenzi, boy?
Pete, you don't understand.
You're going to the Antler Hotel tonight. Ain't that a doozy?
Pete, this is no doozy. I'm really going there tonight. I'm taking Theodora.
Oh.
Pete, I'm really awfully sorry. I just couldn't help it.
Sure, boy.
You know I really want to be with you, Fox.
Sure, boy. Harold, it's a good thing I ain't Margaret Truman. I'd tell my father on you.
Yeah, I guess Doc's in the barn here. Certainly hate to tell him about tonight. Well, I gotta do it. Oh, there he is. Oh, my goodness, he's got his pet goat with him. Wonder if Pete's told him I'm not coming. Hello, Doc.
Good afternoon, Mr. Hemp.
Oop, Pete told him, all right. Doc, I'd like to explain.
How does this bunting look up here?
Looks swell, Doc.
I was speaking to Arthur, my goat.
Oh, excuse me.
Arthur. What would you think of a man who deserted his old friends on New Year's Eve? Yeah, you sure bleated a bib full, Arthur.
Doc, will you listen to me?
If you don't mind, I'm very busy right now. Arthur, you like the way I've hung the bunting? That's very sweet of you, thank you.
Doc, I want to come.
Arthur, I bet you wouldn't desert your fellow goats and try to horn into high society.
Horn in? Now, wait a minute.
No, sir. You wouldn't be off somewhere dining on caviar. You'd be right here with your old friend, munching tin cans.
Doc, I'd munch tin cans. I mean, I'd like to be here with you fellas tonight. You know that, don't you? Doc, old friend, don't you believe me? Say something. Not you, Arthur.
That was me, Harold.
And that was me. Goodbye.
Are you having a good time, Harold?
Oh, sure. Moose Room is very nice. Wonder what the fellows are doing at the barn dance.
You waltz beautifully.
Yeah, thank you, Theodora. It's a good thing. Guess it's all that orchestra knows. They played 3 o'clock in the morning 3 times, and it's only 9:15. What a finish. Well, should we go back to our table?
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sort of a quiet crowd for New Year's Eve, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Look at that fellow in the corner there with a big chin. He has mooed for an hour.
Harold, that's a stuffed moose.
I thought he was sitting kind of high.
Harold, are you sure you're having a good time?
Good time? Oh, sure. I'm having... Ooh, my goodness.
What's the matter?
Stanley Peabody coming with his girl. I don't want to get stuck with Prissy Pants. I'll duck down so he won't see me.
Oh, Harold.
Oh, hello, Theodora.
Hemp. Oop. What are you doing under the table?
Under the table? I was looking for the thing.
Oh, how amusing!
It's like Stanley brought the thing with him.
May I present Miss Abigail Turner, Miss Theodora, and Mr. Harold Hemp.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Oh, I have a wonderful idea. Why don't Abigail and I sit at your table?
Well, let me...
Yes, you sit here, Abby Dabby.
Abby Dabby sounds like a candy bar.
Thank you.
And I'll sit here. Just think, the four of us will spend the whole evening together.
Yeah, I am thinking.
Well, shall we get into the festive mood? I think I'll blow my horn. Whoopee! Come on, Theodora. Hemp, laugh and be gay.
Oh, brother.
Are you feeling merry, Abigail?
Oh, yes, I feel so New Year's easy. I feel like singing that new popular song.
Abigail as a debutante. Came out in 39.
Yeah, probably hasn't been out since.
Harold.
What is it?
Don't look so glum. Say something to our guest.
Oh, yeah. Having a good time, Abigail? I said, are you having a good time, Abigail?
The music goes round and round. How, 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 how.
Whoopee! Oh, I feel so exhilarated. Abby.
Yes, Stanley.
Why don't you tell that uproarious riddle? Oh, Hemp, this will send you right out of the room.
Yeah, I hope so.
Go on, Abby Dabby.
Well, I asked the question. How do you get down from an elephant?
I don't know, Abigail. How do you get down from an elephant?
You don't get down from an elephant. You get down from a duck. Here's a guy round and round.
My face.
Oh, 3 o'clock in the morning. I love that piece.
Yeah, the orchestra must love it, too. Well, Theodora, should we dance?
Hemp, suppose I have this dance with Theodora and you and Abigail can get better acquainted.
But...
Come on, Theodora.
Well, all right.
But...
Excuse us, please. Theodora, do you like to twirl?
Oh, Mr. Hemp, isn't it fun?
Yeah, the music goes round and round.
Well, it's almost midnight. Shall we unfold our paper hats?
I ate mine. It was better than the chicken. Did you say it was almost midnight?
Almost.
Wonder what the fellows are doing at the barn dance.
Oh, the orchestra is getting ready to play, Stan.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Abigail... Shall we dance this one?
Oh, I'd love to.
Excuse us, please.
Certainly.
Harold.
Yes, Theodora?
You don't seem very happy tonight.
Happy? Oh, sure, I'm very happy. Music goes round and round.
Oh, Harold, will you excuse me for a moment? I want to speak to a friend over there.
Of course. Go right ahead, Theodora.
I'll be right back.
Gee, what a clam bake. What a way to spend New Year's Eve. With Stanley Peabody instead of my old friends. Should have told Theodora about the barn dance. Let's face it, honest Harold, you're a weakling. Well, they do know another song. Why does it have to be that one? Gee, what I'd give the world to see that old gang of mine. I can't forget that old quartet that sang Sweet Adeline. Goodbye forever, old fellows and gals. Goodbye forever, old sweethearts and pals, God bless 'em. Gee, but I'd give the world to see that old gang of mine. Yeah, that's where I ought to be, with my old gang, with Pete and Doc and Arthur the goat. And that's where I'm going, right now.
Why, Harold, what's the matter?
Theodora, I'm sorry, but I'm going.
Going where?
To the barn dance. Should have gone there in the first place. But I knew you wouldn't want to go to a corny party like that.
Oh, Harold, why didn't you ask me?
Huh?
I wondered why you wanted to come here instead of spending New Year's with your friends.
You did?
And I'd love to go to your barn dance.
You would? Well.
Oh, Ham.
Oh, Stanley.
Whoopee! New Year's comes but once a year.
You said it. We're not going to spend it here. Come on, Theodora. Hope we're in time, Theodora. Must be almost 12 o'clock.
Yes.
Here's the barn. Sounds kind of quiet in there. Oh, they're doing the pageant. Come on.
Ah, what was that? Tis Baby New Year.
Good old Doc.
Tis Baby New Year. Pete!
Oh, yes.
Look at Pete in that ribbon.
Isn't that cute?
I am Baby New Year. Go, go, achoo!
No, you catch cold in that costume.
I was, yeah.
Hi, Harold.
Hi, Pete, old friend.
My hair.
Hello, Doc.
Oh, I'm glad to see you. Why, it wouldn't have been New Year's without you, would it, Pete?
It sure wouldn't, boy.
Thanks, I really missed you fellas. Say.
Oh, it's 12 o'clock, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Harold.
Happy New Year, boy.
Happy New Year, fellas. Happy New Year, Theodora. Mmm. Oop. Happy New Year to you, Arthur, but I'm not going to kiss you.
Well, it's time for Auld Lang Syne.
Okay, come on, fellas. You take the tenor part, Arthur.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of Auld Lang
I know that all of you listening in tonight are anxious to hear about our Operation Santa Claus venture to Travis Air Force Base and what happened to the thousands of gifts you sent in. I have a wire from Colonel Kelly, commanding officer, that I'd like to read to you. Quote, your recent gratifying personal appearance at Travis Air Force Base will long be remembered by all who saw you. Your bright laughter and good cheer to the men who needed it most, wounded Korean veterans in the base hospital, and combat-ready servicemen bound overseas. Your huge store of gaily wrapped gifts, which you personally distributed to the war wounded and the outbound troops, was especially appreciated and will not soon be forgotten. As commanding officer, I wish to take this opportunity of expressing through you my heartfelt gratitude to all the kindly people, your radio listeners, who made those thousands of gifts possible. Again, thanks to you and your troop, Harold Perry, for an appearance that brought the true spirit of Christmas to Travis Air Force Base. Joe W. Kelly, Colonel, United States Air Force Commanding. Unquote. I wish it were possible to thank all you personally for your gifts to the boys. Being able to make them a bit happier on Christmas was the most wonderful experience of my life. Thanks again from the bottom of my heart, and a Happy New Year to you all.
You have just heard the Harold Perry Show, Honest Harold. The supporting players tonight included Mari Alden, Jane Morgan, Parley Bear, Olin Soule, and Mary Jane Croft, and featured Gloria Holliday as Gloria and Joseph Kearns as Old Doc Yak Yak. Norman MacDonald directed, and the music was composed and conducted by Jack Meekin.
Pretty too, wasn't it?
Honest Harold, created by Harold Perry, was written by Gene Stone, Jack Robinson, and Dick Powell.
Good writers.
Yes, and remember, the Rose Bowl game between Michigan and California will be broadcast next Monday, New Year's Day, exclusively over most of these same CBS stations. Stay tuned now for the Bing Crosby Show, which follows immediately on most of these same CBS stations. This is Roy Rowan speaking. This is CBS, where you thrill to suspense on Thursday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're listening to the Moon, coming to you from CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg.
The Kraft Foods Company presents The Great Gildersleeve.